Let us pray. May the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Last week, we talked about planting seeds. This week, we're talking about pulling weeds. The two go together. Every gardener knows that planting seeds is the easy part of having a successful garden. It's much more time consuming to weed the same garden. It's hard work. As someone has said, when you're weeding, the best way to know that you're pulling a weed and not the valuable plant is if it comes out of the ground easily. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. A surefire way of proving this theory is the following. To distinguish the good from the bad, simply pull up everything. What goes back is the bad. That's also a surefire way to get fired from pulling weeds at a St. John's workday. I know. Some of you can relate to the one unknown homemaker who wrote, "I don't do windows because I love birds, and I don't want one of those birds to fly into a clean window and get hurt. I don't wax floors because I'm terrified a guest will slip and get hurt, and then I'll feel terrible. Well, they might also sue me. I don't disturb cobwebs because I don't want a little spider to not have a home. I don't do spring cleaning because I love all the seasons and I don't want the others to get left out. I don't iron because I choose to believe them when they say permanent press. And finally, I don't pull weeds in the garden because I don't want to get in God's way. God is an excellent designer." I doubt that anyone likes pulling weeds, including God. In today's lesson, Jesus tells another parable. On its surface, there's not much to be said about this parable, except make sure you're not a weed, because one day the weeds will be thrown into the fiery furnace. The weeds are all those who do evil. Oops, that's a little disconcerting. All who do evil? Well, where does God draw the line? Murderers? Rapists? Adulterers? Thieves? Does fibbing on your tax returns count? How about gossiping, particularly if that borders on bearing false witness? How about sins of omission? What about those who ignore their neighbors who are in need? How about those who only give a pittance to God after God has been so generous to them? Where is the line drawn? Could it be that Paul was right when he said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "All have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God"? Well, of course he's right. What is our hope then? Well, I don't know about you, but a fiery furnace does not appeal to me at all. And if that day comes when God begins pulling weeds, I certainly don't want to depend on my own virtue. Having said that, however, we need to take this lesson seriously. Pulling weeds is an important part of a successful, faithful life. There was an interesting report in the news a while back. It was about an event designed for college kids. The purpose was for them to get to take weeds seriously. One pundit called it the World Series of Weeds and the Hula Bowl of herbicides. Agricultural students from universities in the US and Canada competed in being able to identify weeds and to prescribe the right chemical to kill them. They need to be able to recognize weeds when they are tiny, said James Worthington of Western Kentucky University, president of the North Central Weed Science Society at the time. When weeds get big enough that anybody can recognize them, it's too late to do anything about them. I'll bet our own Larry Hagman knows all about that. That's an important statement. When weeds get big enough that anybody can recognize them, it's too late to do anything about them. How many parents have been too late recognizing the weeds growing in the life of their young person? Weeds like drugs or depression or running with the wrong crowd? For that matter, how many adults have recognized too late their own vice or addiction that has them in its grasp? Or even more likely, the negative attitudes, bitterness, resentment, bigotry, anger. We don't like to talk too much about these things in the church. We don't want to sound judgmental. But maybe we should talk more about the weeds that despoil human existence. Lives are still being destroyed. Hearts are still being broken. Relationships are torn. And here's the sad thing. The people whose lives are being choked by these weeds are, for the most part, not bad people. They're good people who simply weren't vigilant enough about pulling the weeds. You may have read about a 61-year-old Massachusetts grandmother who ended up in a mess of trouble some time back. It was her first day of a new job as a school bus driver. She took some wrong turns and made some poor decisions as to which roads to take. She got so lost that she wound up in the state of Connecticut because she had already picked up some kids on her route, and all points bulletin was issued for her on charges of kidnapping. And since she'd crossed the state line, the FBI was called in. After finally locating the new bus driver and interrogating her, the police and the FBI agents concluded that she'd made some wrong turns and had simply lost her way. So all charges were dropped and she was released. A few wrong turns. It happens in life. It happens to good people. It happens to all people. A few bad judgments and suddenly you are lost, entangled, trapped in the weeds, a golfer might say. Sometimes much is at stake. A marriage, our health, the safety of others. Pulling weeds indeed is an important part of a successful, faithful life. Here's the second thing we need to see. God is not only our creator, God is our savior. You may not think so after reading this parable. God sounds like he's eager to destroy us when we do wrong. However, if you read this parable to say that God is a vengeful judge, you miss an important truth. The last thing God wants to do is destroy us. God makes us mindful of the weeds growing in our lives, that God might deliver us from them. Are you familiar with the concept of the recording angel? In that doctrine of some churches, this is the angel that writes down all the bad things that you and I do in order that God one day can mete out our punishment. It's a pretty disturbing doctrine. James A. Michener, in one of his first novels, The Fires of Spring, tells about a couple who are burdened with a load of guilt from their past. They wander into a Quaker meeting. They sit with others for what seem like hours for something to happen. Finally, an elderly man stands up and speaks. He says, the most misleading concept in religion is that of a recording angel. I cannot believe that God remembers or cares to remember a single incident of our lives. Rather, I am the recording angel. My spirit and my body are the record. My good deeds show in me, and my wrong deeds can never be hidden. My spirit either grows to fullness or declines to nothing. God has no need of a recording device. God has us, which records our lives for him. God only needs to look at me, and all is recorded. The old man went on to conclude that with God's permission, we have the privilege of erasing our past mistakes. God offers us redemption, the opportunity to start fresh and make our lives useful by forgiving our past sin and by opening our lives to wisdom. That, my friends, is a powerful thought. God has no need for a recording angel. Our own bodies and our own souls tell the story of how we have lived. God has no desire to destroy us. God is our creator, and God is our savior. God offers us forgiveness and the opportunity to start over. God's only desire is to free us from the mess that we make of our own lives. It's like a man who one day was walking through a park and noticed a massive oak tree. A vine had grown up around its trunk. The vine started small, nothing to bother about. But over the years, the tree was now covered by the vine's creepers. The mass of tiny feelers were so thick that the tree looked as though it had hundreds of bird's nests in it. The result was that the tree was in danger. This huge, solid oak tree was quite literally being taken over, its life being squeezed from it. But the gardeners in the park had seen the danger. They had taken a saw and severed the trunk of the vine, one knee cut across the middle. The tangled mass of the vine's branches still clung to the oak, but the vine was now dead. That would gradually become plain as the weeks passed and the creepers began to die and fall away from the tree. God is the gardener who wants to pull the weeds from our life. It is not God's will that any of his children should suffer. God wants to help. Regardless of what a mess of our lives are in right now, God can turn that mess into a masterpiece. To be sure, we live in a broken world, and we cannot expect things to be perfect in this world ever again. But we can make a start in the right direction. And we do that by opening our hearts to God. We ask God to pull any of the weeds that may be growing in our hearts. These may be weeds of bitterness, weeds of envy, weeds of lust. The list goes on and on. You know, as well as I know, which weeds are choking your or my spirit. Our prayer is that we give them to God. Let God throw them into the fire and consume them forever. Let God put the garden of your life in perfect order again. Amen.